You heard it first on the Nolan Show on Friday morning, and it turned into the biggest story of the weekend. 370 students who'd applied to study engineering at the University of Ulster were told they had a place. They celebrated, then hours later told it was a computer error. Sorry. On Friday, Professor Richard Miller, Dean of the Faculty of Computing and Engineering, said it would be impossible to accept all those who'd applied due to funding reasons and physical space limitations. Then on Friday, the university did an about turn. University spokesman said they'd honour the offers because, and I quote, it was and is the right thing to do and not because of any legal representations. That was on Saturday. Professor Miller's back on the Nolan Show now. Good morning, Professor Miller.
Good morning, Linda.
And also good morning to DUP MLA Sammy Douglas, who sits on the Assembly Employment and Learning Committee. Sammy, good morning.
Good morning, Linda.
Professor Miller, if I could first ask you, if it was impossible on Friday, how come it's an about turn and it's the right thing to do on Saturday? Why this dramatic change of heart?
No, it's not a dramatic change of heart. Basically, what we needed to do was to get time, and that was all day Friday and all day Saturday, to look at these applications on a case-by-case basis.
You didn't say that on Friday. You said that you'd emailed back and said, no, you haven't got a place. That really wasn't made clear.
No, we emailed back and said that no decision had been taken on the student and that the accurate position would be reflected in UCAS track. That has always been accurate and that still is the case.
But you're taking more students than you are actually allowed to in the university. You're increasing the quota, as I understand it.
Yes, if all of the students, and obviously time will tell how many of them will choose to take up the offer, because not all of the students had the University of Ulster as their first choice, but if all of the students were to take up our offer, then we could go up to 100 students over our maximum student numbers.
But you might be fined by Dell.
Yes, that is correct.
So, as I say again, this wasn't made clear on air, certainly. It may have been made clear in the email to the students, and we'll hear from students in a moment. But on Friday, we weren't hearing the fact that you were still looking at them. The fact was it had been a mistake and their places were no longer there.
Well, yes, what we said was there had been a mistake made, so we needed to withdraw that and correct that and let the students know that no decision had yet been taken on them. And this would be what would normally happen. The students normally wouldn't have heard from us whilst we were considering their application, and then they would have had an outcome communicated to them.
So it was nothing to do with any threat of a legal action?
No, it wasn't. We haven't taken legal advice. We haven't received legal representation. I would have to say that once we got over the understandable anger and upset, that our applicants and their parents have been most understanding and have worked with us as we resolved this.
Let me bring in Sammy Douglas, DUP MLA, sitting on the Assembly Employment and Learning Committee. You're quoted in the Belfast Telegraph this morning saying the university, you feel, had no option but to go down this route to avoid costly legal action. Is the university not exposed to legal action at this point?
No, well, what I did say, Linda, was that I had been speaking to some students on Saturday, and they said that there was a similar situation in England a number of years ago where a university had offered places to people who obviously weren't qualified for those places, and what happened was that they were actually taken to court. So I said that maybe this is what's behind. I don't know, and I think we'll probably find out within the next week. But the one of the things I would say, first of all, is fair play to the university for standing up and saying they made a mistake. But secondly, it is unfortunate because a number of people that I've spoken to over the weekend have said, look, this seems grossly unfair that the people who are obviously are not qualified, they haven't got the right grades, and they're now going to be sitting beside people who have worked very hard over this past number of years to get the right grades. I think our question as well is it in terms of the whole academic integrity of the courses and the standards. And I think the Vice-Chancellor mentioned this on Friday himself anyway. So I think there are some questions to be answered, but hopefully they'll be answered later on this week.
Well, let's try and answer them this morning. Professor Miller is here this morning. There you have it. Mr. Douglas is saying it's unfair in other universities and there'll be people who are not qualified, who haven't got the grades, who'll be getting places. And also there'll be students on the course, I presume, within the next month. They'll be side by side in the lecture halls, some who got their grades and would have had a place, and some who got in, you might describe it, as the back door.
Linda, I think this does need to be clarified. Because I think there is misunderstanding. What we have done is we have now considered these applications the same way as we would if we had an extra 100 places.
But you didn't have the places, so those people wouldn't have had a place. But you would not have been considering them.
Students sitting side by side. We have a threshold, and we wouldn't, below that threshold, put students into an honours degree.
And these people were below the threshold? These people, were they below the threshold?
No, let me just clarify on this. The students who are coming into the honours degree are doing so at the same level as we would have been taking them 2 or 3 years ago whenever there wasn't the same pressure on places in engineering.
But because of the pressure, you've set the bar a little higher, and the people that have got in presumably have jumped that bar. The people who didn't get in, who originally would not have got the places, did not achieve that level. So are they of a lower standard?
No, I think we need to understand here. There's a standard that you need in terms of ability, in our opinion, to be able to make a success of a university honours degree course. And we have applied that standard. To give you an idea, it's really the equivalent of 2 Bs, 200 points. And when the bar is raised higher than that, that is for us to control numbers. Now, we do have some students with more modest A-level results who would be below that threshold. And those students, we will be in discussion with them for the best option for them, but those students will have the offer, if they wish to take it up, of coming on to a foundation year. And that, again, if you went back 2 or 3 years ago, was something that we had in place.
So are you saying you're not going to offer them the
demand for the honours degrees?
Are you saying you're not going to offer them the place in the honours course then? You're going to offer them a place on a foundation course, which is lower? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's an earlier year on the honours degree. It's still on the honours degree. That's where their place is.
But it's not the same place that they originally were accepted for. Is that what you're saying?
It's the honours degree for which they were originally accepted. This is common practice across the sector to be able to provide support for students with more modest results so that they can make a success off the course.
Let me just be clear. The people that would have been accepted on Friday, they will go straight into an honours course. The ones that were accepted in error, they will now be offered a foundation course.
No. The students that received the email in error, some of those students had results at a level that we would accept onto an honours degree, and that has happened. Other students below that level, we are accepting onto the honours degree, but onto the foundation year.
So you are going to separate them?
They are in a different year, yes.
And the ones that will be accepted for the honours course, why were they not offered the course? How did you decide that they wouldn't get it to begin with? What was the decision-making process?
Well, that's to do with pressure on numbers. If we didn't have, and of course we don't have these extra 100 places, then the level is higher. And therefore, you're always in that situation of having to, in a normal year, reject students who you would otherwise have loved to have taken.
So you're going to offer then some of these students who were given the email in error, they're going to be offered a 4-year course rather than a 3-year course. They'll have to study for longer. It'll be more expensive.
It is an additional year. But again, let's put this in context. If this hadn't have happened, these students would have been rejected from their university. Their place could not have been confirmed. They would have had to have found either a place elsewhere, and of course some of them may choose to do that, and they still can do that, or some of them would have maybe gone back and repeated A-levels or taken another qualification for a year. So really they are no worse off.
The university will be financially worse off if this penalty, this financial penalty for exceeding the maximum allocation of student number cap. Have you spoken to the minister, Minister Ferry? Is this an automatic penalty, or is it something that you can discuss with him and perhaps ask him to be lenient? He said he will look at it sympathetically, I think.
Yes, well, that is a discussion that the Vice-Chancellor is having with Dr. Farre. And I would have to say that Dr. Farre has been most understanding and supportive of the university through this process. But yes, there is a maximum figure of a fine that the university could incur.
How much might that be?
I beg your pardon?
How much might that be?
That is £3,800 per student.
So we're talking about £380,000 if it's a fine for all 100 that were given the places in error.
And if all 100 decide to take up those places.
And of course, you'll also have to employ more people. You'll have to have bigger facilities. You'll have to have, for the duration of this course, more people employed in the university. And then I can only assume that after this group have gone through, those teaching, lecturing jobs will be gone again.
Well, we certainly will, and we have committed to putting more teaching and pastoral support in place for this year. And of course, we will do that, and that will mean more staff. But then we will have to absorb these additional numbers as we move forward. So the situation doesn't keep itself going.
So how much are we talking about then? What is the cost to university? Because I read it that you have a contingency fund, but this must be quite a hefty cost. And of course, if it costs the university, it costs the taxpayer as well.
Well, we do have a contingency fund. That is money that the university has already set aside. So the university is not going and asking the taxpayer for additional money for this. Like any organisation, that is a fund that we build up over the years for unforeseen events such as this.
In many ways, it could be described as a good news story in that we'll have more engineers qualified in Northern Ireland. But it's pretty unfair to other universities who've lived up to the regulations, who've put the cap on, who haven't exceeded them, who haven't made a mistake.
Well, that obviously is one view, but I think we find that universities take a very collegiate view of these matters, and we all understand that these things can happen, and we try to support each other when something like this happens.
Do you mind if I ask one question? Was this a kind of a software glitch that something went out within a computer, or did someone actually press a button, a key, and sent to all rather than just a selected number?
What we do know at the moment, and you know, we want to get through this admissions period. This is a busy time. And after that, there will be a full investigation into what has happened. But the information we have at the moment, that in the process of sending out this congratulatory email, which should only have gone to a group of 40 students that we were correctly accepting at that time, that in that process, the email went out to all students.
I think we've established that, but what I was asking was it a software issue or was it a finger error?
That's something that we don't know until we get this investigation.
I think so many companies fall back on computer glitch. It's become that phrase we're pretty fed up of here in Northern Ireland. But, you know, blame the computer. The computer says no. But computers only do what they're told. People put the programs. Why am I telling you? You're the professor of the University of Ulster's Computing and Engineering School. I think you know a little more about it than I do.
But I think, Linda, you know, whether this had been human error or whether this had been computer error, the effect would have been the same. And regardless of whether it had been human error or computer error, the university would have felt the same moral obligation to these students to deal with this in the way in which we have.
I didn't hear the word moral obligation on Friday, it has to be said. That only came out on Saturday. So there did seem to be a change within 24 hours. Sammy Douglas, DUP MLA, you've also said that if you were a student who'd worked hard and got the right grades, you would feel rather miffed that someone sitting beside you had got in. Do you think that might be a problem for the intake of 2012?
Well, certainly, and what the professors said has certainly clarified the situation. I think one of the difficulties here, Linda, is in relation to next year in terms of funding. So if the minister does come up and he's sympathetic to the university, which he may well be, does that mean that there will be less money for not just for universities, but for all those other schemes that I'm involved with at the moment in terms of helping long-term unemployed people, particularly young people, and the likes of the Steps to Work programme or the Step Ahead programme. I was with some people in East Belfast last Friday, and they were asking, you can't get more places to try and encourage young people to come off the unemployment market and back into work. So while the minister may be sympathetic, I want to make sure that's not at the expense of these schemes that we are targeting, the long-term unemployed, particularly young people. And that's the executive of the Assembly is actually saying that.
It's a fair point, Professor Miller. The money's got to come from somewhere, and we will be talking later in the programme about the unemployed young people. But does it affect other courses, other money for other things within the university?
No, it doesn't. I think that's something we want to emphasise here. We haven't taken these numbers away from other subjects. We haven't taken these numbers away from other campuses. Those plans remain exactly as they are. These truly are an additional up to 100 places if all the students take up the offers. And if the full fine is levied, we will fund that out of our contingency fund. So again, that isn't going to impact the normal operation of the university.
But the money and that figure, how much is it likely to cost you?
Well, we know that if the full fine was levied and we had the full 100 students, it would be of the order of £380,000.
A lot of money. Let me bring in some callers. Catherine and John are both on the line. Catherine, good morning to you.
Hello, yep.
Are you a student, Catherine?
Yep, I am.
Did you get the email?
Yeah, I got the email that came through on Thursday.
And you were devastated?
Yep, I was.
And how long did you have that absolute depression for, knowing that you hadn't got the place before you heard that morally and the right thing to do and you were going to get the place? When did you get the good news email?
I got the good news email yesterday morning to say I'd been accepted into the course.
And how do you feel about that now, knowing that, you know, you weren't good enough on Friday and you are good enough on Saturday?
Well, I think it was just the right thing for them to do, but I know they had to send out the other email after the good one on Thursday, so I just sort of hung over us all over all weekend. So, but the good news came yesterday morning, and I'm very happy with that.
But do you know if you're going to get onto the honours course, a three-year course, or if you're going to be asked to do the extra foundation year, which will mean you'll be an extra year in university?
I'm getting onto the honours course, the three-year. Well, it'll be a four-year course anyway, but I'm getting straight onto the honours course that I wanted to do in the first place.
Because of the year's work placement?
Yeah.
But you're getting onto the course you're qualified for, and yet you didn't get that place through the normal channels.
Yep.
How does that make you feel?
I'm not really sure. You know, I haven't really thought about that yet.
You're just glad to be getting on.
Yes.
Yes. And John...
But Linda, maybe if I can come in here.
Yes,
I think, and if Catherine's still on the line again, Catherine, an apology to you. We're really sorry for what happened and, you know, for the stress that this has caused you. I wouldn't want anybody saying here that Catherine wouldn't have got this place.
But she didn't get the place.
Or that somehow. What we said to the students was no decision had been taken. And even if this had just been a normal year, many of those students we would have been accepting anyhow.
But this is the year we're in. There's very little point in saying this is a normal year.
We have accepted at a level that we have taken in the past. So I don't want anybody thinking that these students are in some way substandard. They're not.
Well, that is good to hear. But the fact is, you weren't giving them a place on Friday and you gave them a place on Saturday. So there was at one stage a moment where they didn't have a place and then suddenly they did. John, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. Go ahead.
I'm very disappointed with the negative tone the broadcast is taking.
Well, you put the positive, John. This is why you can come on the programme.
The Ulster University obviously made a bad error on Friday. And I was appalled at the consequences of that. But they put somebody up front immediately. They accepted their blame. And they spent the weekend putting the whole thing right. And I think it's marvellous that somebody in authority like that can stand up, hold their hands up, admit they're wrong, and then do their best to put it right.
Even at a cost of £380,000?
Well, I'm sure the BBC makes mistakes. I'm sure every mistake anybody makes has a cost. They've accepted the cost. They're going to bear it themselves. It won't affect anybody else, as far as I can see. and I think they've done really well.
Well, thank you for making that positive statement for the university. John, good to hear from you. Sharon, good morning to you. Good morning, Sharon. Sharon, in Randallstown? Sharon is not gone. We'll get Sharon back again. It's nice to hear Professor Miller, somebody saying you are doing the right thing, because young people on the day of their results are so very vulnerable as they go to collect their results and waiting to hear what their friends have got. It's one of the worst moments, whether you've got enough or haven't got enough. But what happened? Is there any way that it can be prevented happening again? You say you're going to have a look at this thing afterwards.
Yes, we certainly are. This was, as I think I explained in some of the earlier interviews, this was the first year that we have tried to modernise our communication and move away from postal communication with the students to something that's more rapid communication in terms of email, much more student-friendly.
Well, if anybody can do it, it's the Faculty of Computing and Engineering, one would have thought, rather than relying on the post.
Well, that, of course, was why we were trying this. Yes, we will investigate and we will put in place what's necessary to ensure this doesn't happen again.
Here's Bill on the line. Bill, were you expecting a call from the University of Ulster?
No, Linda, I'm just a parent myself, but oh. No, I wasn't expecting any call at all. I just wanted to ask a question. Firstly, where does the university find £380,000 overnight? Because it seems to be they're always crying out, these government bodies and rants crying out for money, especially hospitals. But the other point is, the students here, who some of them don't even know whether they're qualified or not, you get into the standard, as I say, my big fear for any pupil and any student, as I say, I have five children, all through college, all through school and everything else, but maybe they're not up to the standard. Maybe they're going to feel pressurised. Are they going to feel that they must try harder because we're given a second chance? Is there going to be pressure on them from their parents, or you've got another go at this, and push harder, push harder? Is it more pressure? They're saying there about the stress. I mean, 48 hours. It's going to be maybe 4 years of stress for some of them.
And they're going to feel extra stress because they're marked in a group. Will they be identified, Professor Miller? Will students in the classroom, the lecture hall, know that the person sitting next to them is the one that they got in the second batch?
Absolutely not. All the students will be treated in the same way, and the additional support that we put in place will be available to all students. There is nothing that we would want to do that would in some way mark out these students, because let me keep emphasising, these are not substandard students. 2 or 3 years ago, when I didn't have the same demand for places in engineering, we would have been taking these students onto these programmes.
But how did you separate them? I mean, you've said this on more than one occasion, you would have taken them, but you must have decided by some criteria. So one can only assume that the ones you would have accepted were slightly a higher standard. And as Bill correctly says, where's this money coming from when there's such stresses for monies in education and everywhere else for that matter?
Well, of course, applications to university is a competitive process. And when you have a limited number of places, we accept students on that merit basis, that you will take the best qualified students. So that's always how that has worked. In terms of the contingency fund, this is money that the university has set aside over a number of years for something like this. And I guess it's the same way that many of us try to do at home. You try and put a little bit into savings for the rainy day, for when something happens. And that's where this money has come from.
Professor Miller, thank you for joining us yet again.